God has made a way that you could come to know Him as your personal Savior. If we could just grasp that, if we could understand that, if you do not know Jesus, He's not your enemy. No way, shape, or form is He your enemy. He made a way. Praise God, He made a way that you can, He loved you. Man, I tell you, we cannot comprehend the love that God had for us. I mean, I could stand up here and I cannot preach to you for the next 2.5 hours. The love of Jesus Christ. I couldn't do that. I would not have enough time to even do that. Praise God. I'll tell you what. You know what? I was a pastor for a little bit. Then I went into evangelism. And I love putting on my evangelistic hat once in a while. Because I can, and maybe you won't like it, but I can come in and I can just hit it and just go. You know what I mean? But you know what? I put on my evangelistic hat again today here. We're going to talk about healing for the home this morning. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to be over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. It doesn't take Dear Abby to tell us that families and marriages are in trouble in this country. It doesn't take her to tell us that. I can tell you that right here this morning. On the average, there's 2.4 million couples will get married every year, on the average, in that neighborhood right there. And I want to tell you something. Whenever they get married, they say these vows or something similar to them. And you probably have heard these. I take you to be my lawful wedded husband or wife, to have and to hold from this day forth, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. As God is my witness, I give you what? My promise. We've heard those vows, have we not? These couples will be congratulated by friends and family, and you know what? And go on about their business. But do you know something? And this is, and I'm going to get to the scripture here in a minute, and I'll get to the prayer. But you know what? The average cost of a wedding in the United States today is $30,000. Did you know that? $30,000. I know some people think, look at me and thinking, well, you know, that's, but you know what? That's the average cost. It's actually, if you're in New York City, in the Manhattan area, it's $89,000, the average cost for a wedding. Take that. And while these 2.4 million are getting married, there's another 1.2 million who are either separating or getting divorced in this country. 1.2 million. And that's not me just throwing numbers out there. That's statistics. That's facts. You see, the institution of marriage and the family is in trouble. Has been for a while. And you know what it needs? It needs healing. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you right now. And I've got a lot of numbers here. And before I go, I'm going to just have a word of prayer, then I'll read the scripture, then we'll get into it. Father, I want to praise You, Lord, this morning. I want to thank You for the opportunity that You have given me to stand behind this desk. Lord, I pray, Father, that You would open up the hearts and the minds of those people here today. Lord, I pray, Father, that we would always look to You for our strength, for our guidance, for our direction. And not to put our trust and our hope in man, but to look to You and Your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that He has given us. And we'll give You the praise for it all. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has also loved the church, and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Did you know this? As I got to look, when I got to digging, the Lord gave me this within the last, with 2 weeks ago. And I have been debating on whether, I said, Lord, and I do this all the time. I try to argue with Him, and you know what? I got to quit that. Because it doesn't do me no good. I've got to preach it anyway. And He gave us, He said, do you realize this, folks? And I got to look into this. The divorce rate is higher in conservative Christian areas than it is in more liberal states. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Southern states like Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, North and South Carolina, Oklahoma, all have higher divorce rates than the national average. Bet you didn't know that. I didn't know it until I got to looking into it. And notice some of these are the Bible Belt states that we talk about all the time. You would think it would be the exact opposite, would you not? That where God's Word is, where His Word should be being preached, that wouldn't be the case. I'm here to tell you the families and the marriages and everything in this country needs a major healing. Needs it. And I'm not even going to tell you and mention, and I'll go ahead and mention this to you, that you know what? That those who live together, that live together has increased from like 439,000 in 1960 to now there's 4.2 million couples that live together out of wedlock in this country today. But when I read numbers like that, I just mentioned to you, you know what it does? It makes this preacher wonder. And it makes me wonder if God's people, if the church is doing all that it can do to help people and help families and help marriages and help the young people to understand how important it is that whenever we make vows before God, that we try to keep them to the best of our ability. We are standing, I tell you what, are we standing up on the Word of God and preaching and teaching it without fear or without favor? I tell you what, yes. You're right, I did. I put on my evangelistic hat today, but I got to come back here next week. So we're going to listen to this. You're going to listen. Have we doing enough? Are we standing up and preaching God's Word without fear or without favor of somebody getting mad or upset with you? I'm telling you, if I preach God's Word the way it should be preached, if you get mad, that's between you and God. God has really been dealing with me. And like I said, it's been a couple of weeks on this. It's going to be a couple weeks on this deal. So you know what? I'll tell you, I've been studying. I've been trying to get stuff down. I've really dug into it. The family is in need of healing, both physically and spiritually. The family is needed. Marriages are in need of this. Can you have a happy and successful marriage? Can a marriage withstand the weathering of the storms that every couple will face? I'm here to tell you yes. Yes, it can. But it has to be done God's way. We cannot do it our way. We cannot hope to try to do it our way, because if we try to do it our way, it will not stand. The first thing Christians need to do to have a happy and a long, successful marriage, the first thing it starts before you're ever married. That's where it starts. Pray that God will send you the right person. Amen? He or she may not be the prettiest, the wealthiest, or the smartest. That's not what it's about. What it's about, if you are a Christian and you are praying for a mate, you pray that God sends the right one your way. Don't take it upon yourself to try to figure it out. You pray that God does that. And if you are truly praying that God will send you the right mate, it will happen. And you do not have to rush ahead on your own to find out whether it's right. It will happen and you will know that it is right. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." God has a plan for your lives, young people. Understand me this. Understand this. God has a plan for your life. And if you step out on your own and try to do this thing on your own, you're going to have trouble. Yes, you will. God has a plan for you. God knows the plans He has laid out for you. Also, do not go into relationships thinking that you can change that person. Oh, that's a big mistake right there. I'm not going to tell you that those types of relationships won't work out sometimes. I won't tell you that all the time, because sometimes they do. But there's a good reason why God said this: be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why did God say it? Why did He say it? God knows. God knows the pain and the heartache you may be setting yourself up for. God knows it. Like I said, He has a plan. God also knows, instead of you changing that person, there may be a chance that that person may change you. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. Don't think for one minute that, you know what, you think that you'll be able to change that person all by yourself. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to take God changing that person. It's going to take them wanting to change. And too many times it doesn't happen that way. I've told this story before. I told this story before about a couple that got married, and he had really fooled her this whole time. They were going to church, and whenever they were going together, and they were going to church faithfully, the night that they got married, he told her that he was not going back to church. Deal with that. Deal with that. Because he had fooled her the whole time in believing that that's what he was doing. I'll tell you what. God knows who and what is best for you. Pray and let God answer that prayer for you. I told you at the beginning of the year, are you going to let God, are you going to let Jesus Christ and God lead you into the new year? Or are you going to try to lead God? It ain't going to work if you're going to try to lead Him. God knows what's best. The next thing that I want to talk about is found in the scripture that I read today. It's the foundational teachings of marriage and family in verse 21. Underline it. Mark it down in yellow, because this is the foundation of what a marriage should be built on. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, I'll tell you what. Submitting yourself to one another. It's the most important verse. You know what? In this narcissistic, egotistical, self-indulgent world that we live in, people don't like to hear the word submit. They don't like to hear it. The women might think, even say, I went to college. I'm bringing money into this house. I have a brain. I have a car. I don't need to submit to anyone. Or you might be the Neanderthal husband who says, me husband and you wife. Listen to me. Equal submission is God's plan for a lasting relationship. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Equal submission. Right. Marriage is a partnership. It is a relationship of mutual submission. In a partnership, neither partner tries to dominate the other. That's not the way it should be. The marriage relationship is based on unconditional love. Do you hear me? Unconditional love. Lifting up each other in love and understanding. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. When you see shattered and broken relationships, you will find that most generally that the root cause of it is because Jesus has been left out of the relationship. Especially in Christian homes. And it happens. It happens. And when that happens, it can become very self-centered. I'll do what you want me to do if you do what I want you to do. You know? That's how some of this stuff starts. That's how it happens. And you know what? Don't like it? You can hit the road. Oh, yeah. I've talked to people, and that's pretty much what it comes down to. Listen, you say, well, preacher, what are you? Listen, I have had family members touched by divorce. I have a mother that was touched by divorce. I've had brothers and sisters that have been touched by divorce. I've had sons and daughters that have been touched by divorce. I know what I'm talking about. It hurts. It hurts. It goes beyond the couple that's getting the divorce. It can go right to the family. It can go to the children. It can go on and on and on. I know it hurts. To make mutual submission work, listen to me, requires equal responsibility by both the husband and the wife. Both of you. It takes equal responsibility by both of you. If you want to make a marriage work, if you want to make a family in a home, if you want healing in your home, you've got to understand the foundational principles that that they're trying to say here in Ephesians. Submitting one to the other in the fear and the admiration of the Lord. You know what? Responsibility in finances. Did you realize that the number one cause of divorce in this country is what? Finances. If you argue or discuss finances once a day or once a week, you are 30% up to 160% more chance of getting a divorce in this country because of finances. Child rearing. You need the responsibility in child rearing, house chores, and showing our children and those around us how to serve God and that we love one another as husbands and wives. That has to be utmost. To make mutual submission work, the husband and wife willingly, get this, I'll tell you, willingly make decisions that are best for the family and not themselves. There are times, did you know what? I'm a preacher and I'm a husband. There are times I would just like to just do things on my own and just, you know what? And I would be so much happier, right? No. I've got to make decisions. We've got to make decisions. Me and her have got to make decisions that are best for our family and serving God. And I'm telling you, there's not a one of you in here today, but those decisions have got to be the same way. For both of you. Both of you. And not for them. Jesus called this a servant leadership. That's what it's about. Whenever I'm talking to you about this, this is what he's called. The servant. Let him who would be greatest among you be as a servant. How great would it be? Husbands and wives here today, listen to me. In couples, if you would take and be as a servant to your wife and she would be as a servant to you, and you know what? You both of your goals is to do nothing but make the other one happy. Now, you're telling me you wouldn't have a great relationship. Yes, you would. Yes, you would, because both of you would be doing everything in your power to make sure that the other one is happy. Both of you would do it. How much better would a marriage be? Giving mutual support means abandoning all hope of changing each other. Oh, man. Through criticism or attack. Do you understand what I'm saying here today? We try to change that person that we're married to. We try to change him by attacking him and by going after him for every little thing. Oh man, you left the toilet seat up. Well, you left it down. You don't think that stuff don't start fights? Listen to me. The small stuff. We sweat so much of the little stuff sometimes, and we're willing to tear and rip at each other about this stuff. Folks, mutual support is not that way. It's not biblical to be that way. I hope you understand that. Giving mutual support means we got to abandon all hope of changing each other through criticism. And you know what? And attacks. Mutual support and responsibility means you work at spending time together. We should work to try to spend as much time together as husbands and wives and as families as we can. Share responsibility and make communication a high priority. You know, it's become possible to get wrapped up in our own little world. Have you ever done that? Huh? Have you ever got wrapped up in your own little world and we lose touch with those around us? It happens. Of all the advanced technology out here in the world that's coming on the scene in the last 100 years, and you know what I'm talking about, you know, to make our lives easier, to make us to become less isolated, to help us communicate, we have so much things out there to help us where we should be able to communicate. Yet what happens sometimes, whenever we get at the house, we sit down in that living room, we can turn on the TV, we can play our games. We can look at our phones. We can text. We can look at Facebook. And you know what? We are oblivious to everyone around us and everything around us. Amen or oh my. Are we not? It happens. I'm telling you, yes, I told you guys, I put on my evangelistic hat. I'm sorry. But listen to me. We do that with all this technology we have, and we should be able to communicate better. But what's it make us do? We are so much less communicators nowadays. We are. You don't call somebody anymore and talk to them very rarely. What do? We text. Some people will text sitting right beside of you. With all this we have, why do we have to feel so isolated? Why do we feel like we don't have to communicate? Whenever God, and what he's saying there, he said, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Take a closer look at the issues. You know, in verse 21 tells us a lot. It tells us so much. Listen, how to start a marriage, how to keep it going. That's what it tells us. Young people, I'll tell you what. If you're planning on getting married or having a relationship in your life, and I'll talk to you guys right here. That verse of scripture right there, mark it in yellow, underline it, and read it, and read it, and read it before you ever step into that decision about getting married. Because this is important. You need to submit yourselves. You can get a lot of opinions on these next verses. 22 through 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject unto their own husbands in everything. Paul is not, and listen to me, about this, guys and ladies. Paul is not talking about submitting yourself to an abusive relationship. Do you understand that? God is not talking to you about submitting yourself to an absolute control of an out-of-control husband. He is not telling us that. What Paul is trying to say here is this. Paul is talking about a Christian wife being submissive to her Christian husband, spiritual leadership. That's what it's about. That's exactly what it's about. Gentlemen, if you are the Christian husband that you need to be, you will be a spiritual leader in your household. Too many times, and this is the case, maybe the husband's not saved, and the wife is the one there. She is the Christian one. She is the Christian leader. She's the one, the spiritual leader of that house right now. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you right now, praise God, if the husband is a Christian and he is supposed to be the spiritual leader of that house, he's supposed to be. That's just plain and simple. And that's what you're submitting to. You're not submitting to every whim and everything that he's trying to, that some of these people try to put down. I tell this story. Me and Tink were friends with some people, and this is how he believed. I make all the decisions in the house. And I said, we go to get a car. He said, if it's what I want, he said, it'll be the color that I want it. I'm thinking to myself, oh yeah? Listen, I have no way or shape or form believe that that's the way that it should be. That is not the way that it should be. Whenever we're talking about submission, we are talking about submission to a Christian man and his spiritual leadership in a house. God has ordained a Christian husband to be the leader. Wives, you're to be supportive to him. Wives are to be the number one encouragers of your husbands. Amen? You're supposed to be the number one encouragers of your husband. If he's a Christian man, you're supposed to be the number one encourager of him. You are. Wives are to have a positive influence on their husbands, not a negative. Whenever it's a relationship, you're not supposed to be negative. You're supposed to have a positive influence. Wives and husbands both are to give up the idea of the perfect marriage. Can I say that? Give up that idea. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage, and I want you to understand that right now. Instead, let's work towards a good marriage. Why do you say that, preacher? Because I tell you what, once we get married and after the honeymoon's over, we all have warts, right? Amen? Amen? Amen. We've all got warts. And I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, you know what? We'd be better off not to try to take the warts off of this one and take that wart off of that. We'd be better off working towards a good marriage, a good relationship that's centered on Jesus Christ, that's centered on God. Because we all have them, folks. Give praise and appreciation instead of seeking it. Can you say, yeah, yeah, you know, give praise instead of trying to seek it for your own self. Greet your husband with affection instead of complaints and demands, and focus on what's right rather than what's wrong in your relationship. Amen? Do that. Wives, do that. I'll tell you what, I could probably just quit right there and be all right, right, ladies? But I'm not. Because, gentlemen, we have so much in on this thing. We have so much. Ephesians 5:22-28. And this is what it tells us here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has also loved the church and give himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. What does it mean to love your wife as Christ loved the church? There are several words in the Bible that are used for love, but the one used here is agape. And do you know what that means? That's unconditional love without any strings attached. You love her unconditionally without any strings attached, gentlemen. That's the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, so she drank the food. So she doesn't clean house the way you think. Though she doesn't do this or she doesn't do that. You love her unconditionally and you see the love start coming back. And it will. In a Christian household, it will. Husbands, with the love of Jesus in your heart, you can practice it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. This is something I thought this is so great. 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 4. I want you to look at this scripture here, and what it says, charity suffereth long. And it said, and is kind, envieth not. Where charity is, we always put love in there because that's what it means. I want you to put your name in there. And I want you to say it with your name. Because this is what love is about. Whenever we read it with me. Dave suffereth long. And is kind. Dave envieth not. Dave boldeth not himself. Is not puffed up. Doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Look at that and put your name in there and tell me that is not what your love. That's the way that a family, that's the way that a husband should do with his wife and a wife should do with her husband. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. You know what? We should be patient. We should be kind. We should not want to just seek our own will and our own way when it comes down to our relationship with our families. It is the love of God that helps in your marriage, in your relationship. God's love in you will help you forgive and to forget when there are things in your life that it's hard for you to forgive and to forget. God's love's help will, in spite of what's going on in your life right now, His love will help you get through what's going on right now in your life. Husbands, I got one more thing to tell you. If you don't treat her the way that, you know, the way that the Bible says, your prayers will not be answered. Did you know that? If you are not treating your wife the way that the Bible says to do it, your prayers will not be answered. Where's that at? It's over in 1 Peter 3:7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according, let's talk about your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together in the grace of life. Then it goes on to say, that your prayers be not hindered. Did you know that was in there? If you're going to be the husband that you need to be, you've got to treat your wife and submit to God. And submitting means that you, when you do that, that brothers and sisters, that your prayers will not be hindered. Jesus is a master healer. He can bring healing to your life and your family if you give him a chance. He can do that. The love of Christ will make a way. And one last story I want to give you this morning before I close. All of you remember who Jack Benny was? You remember Jack Benny? Most of you do. I know the younger generation here don't know him. Anyway, he was married to a lady for 47 years. Well, he started dating her whenever they were working at a studio. And what Jack Benny did, he fell in love with her the moment he seen her. So he sent her a rose every day. She didn't know who was sending the rose. He sent her a single rose every day. Finally, she asked the guy who was delivering it who sent it. And he told him it was Jack Benny. And they got, anyway, they ended up getting married. For 47 years, he sent her a rose every day after they were married. He died in 1974, and she still received a rose every day until 1983 when she died. Because he had made sure that he had paid that where she got a rose every day. You know what, folks? God's love goes way beyond even man's love. Submitting ourselves one to the other in the fear of God. I'm telling you, folks. I'm telling you. It is biblical. It will work. It will work. It will. But it takes two to do it. I understand that. But brothers and sisters, we can do it. We can do it. In the fear and admiration of the Lord. As they come and get a song this morning.